to verse 16. Ecclesiastes 1:16. In 1:16 it says, I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. Obviously, you see here that there is a distinction between the two, or we know that they are separate. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is grasping for the wind. And so as Solomon is going through this, and guys, if you really want to learn wisdom, if you really want to start understanding wisdom, you need to go to Proverbs and read Proverbs 1 through 10. Proverbs 1, chapters 1 through 10. Solomon writes that, and it's all about wisdom. And man, I could spend a year, I could spend a year covering wisdom. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you read on your own. Amen? Because I know everybody in here loves to read their Bible first thing in the morning, and I will give you that reading assignment. But Solomon, he goes into Proverbs, and he's pouring out wisdom. Guys, I'm going to tell you, knowledge is cheap. I'm just going to say, knowledge is cheap. How many of you, you have gained so much knowledge watching YouTube? I only got five. I got the same eight people as I had last week. All right. So, right. Listen, you watch YouTube. Okay. How many go on YouTube to learn something new? Okay, so there you go. Everyone here watches YouTube and has gained some knowledge. But knowledge is far from wisdom, amen? How many here have went to school? Amen. I'm glad everyone's on board. So, why do we go to school? Well, we go to school to learn knowledge. Listen, you can be taught anything, and we can gain knowledge, but do we gain wisdom? Wisdom is completely separate. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that wisdom keeps you alive. Knowledge will kill you. Amen? Knowledge, why? Well, because knowledge is, or wisdom is knowledge in action, or knowledge with feet. That's what I like to say. Wisdom is knowledge with feet. And so you live it out. And I was reading, and I came across this beautiful analogy of what wisdom looks like. It says, a lost dog strays into a jungle. A lion sees this from a distance and says with caution, this guy looks edible, never seen his kind before. So the lion starts rushing towards the dog with menace. The dog notices and starts to panic, but as he's about to run, he sees some bones next to him and gets an idea and says loudly, that was some good lion meat. The lion abruptly stops and says, whoa, this guy seems tougher than he looks. I better leave while I can. Over by the treetop, a monkey witnessed everything. The monkey realizes he could benefit from this and gain a friend in the lion. So the monkey proceeds to tell the lion what really happened. The lion says angrily, get on my back, we'll get him together. So they start rushing back to the dog. The dog sees them and realizes what happened and starts to panic even more. Then he gets another idea and shouts, where is that monkey? I told him to bring me another lion an hour ago. The wisdom versus knowledge. I'm going to tell you, when we exercise wisdom, we live. When we just have knowledge, we die. The dog had knowledge of the lion and his ability, but he had the wisdom to outsmart the lion and the monkey. Guys, I'm going to tell you, wisdom is absolutely necessary. And the wisdom is the beginning of knowing the Lord. Think about that for a minute. And by the way, when you know the Lord, what does it bring? Life. If you don't know the Lord, what's it bring? Death, right? And so wisdom, guys, how many of you here have, don't raise a hand, because then I have to deal with the prideful, but how many here have wisdom, right? Guys, I'm going to tell you, wisdom is an amazing thing, and if we don't exercise wisdom, we're going to die in our own follies. That's realistically what's going to happen. So Solomon is trying to help us to understand, and if you remember chapter 7 in Proverbs. Remember chapter 7 where Solomon was talking about the guy failing to exercise wisdom and the woman lures him into her bedroom and then uses the Egyptian sheets and all that and the perfume to bring him in, right? And then to conquer him through sin. And then, of course, Solomon goes on and says, listen, man, when you don't exercise wisdom, you bring death upon yourself. And that's exactly what 7 was talking about. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 1. So we're going to be in 8, but I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to go 1-1. 1-1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Guys, I'm hoping to give you some wisdom and instruction today. And if you deny it, if you throw it away, you are a fool. Now, this is what helps me in saying this. I didn't say it. God said it. Amen. So if you don't like being called a fool, then you need to deal with this or deal with God. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. And so he says here in 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is to honor God, to recognize God, who he is, to give God glory, to make God your Savior. That's the beginning of knowledge. And then to reject God, right? To reject God, you are a fool and you despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to death. Listen, guys, we can't do it contrary to what God says. We can't do it contrary to the way God says. Because the reality is, when you throw God out and you're just trying to live on your own and your own understanding, your own ways, your own desires, you're going to die. And what I mean by die is, we're all going to die, amen? Like, so what's the difference between one that knows God and one that doesn't know God? Physically, we're all going to die. But what we're talking about is spiritually. And you realize that when you fail to recognize God for who he is, when you fail to follow God and his desires and exercise his wisdom, you die spiritually. And when you die spiritually, that means you go the rest of your life after you die and through life without God. And when you go without God, I'm just going to tell you that that brings death. And death, listen, you know what hell is? People are like, oh, hell is hell. I'll go to hell with my friends. Oh, listen, you are such a fool. You don't understand truth. And here's the reality. Hell is existence without God. And if you want to know what life looks like without God, turn on the news and go to Portland. Turn on the news and go to Minneapolis. Turn on the news and pay attention to these places that are rioting, looting, and killing. You know why they're doing that? They don't have God. Everywhere you look in society, and I'm not being political, but man, what a beautiful picture we have of no God. Amen? And listen, when there is no God, what do you have? You have crazy people doing crazy things, that which is right in their own mind. And hell is you existing forever and ever. The Bible says that you are like the worm when you're in hell. Now, let me give you a beautiful illustration of the worm. I would have put it up on the screen, but, well, you know how that goes. Here's the worm. How many have ever seen a worm in your driveway when the seasons are changing? You go outside and there's like, they're all over your driveway. Anybody see that? Right? And then you take one and you try to get it off your driveway and use your foot. And you know you're just rolling him and you're damaging his whole body, right? You guys know that? You're not actually getting rid of him. You're hurting him. You're almost killing him. And then what's he start doing? Man, he gets all squirrely and crazy, right? Like a crazy squirrel. It just loses his mind. You look down and it's just like out of control. That's you in hell, in pain, writhing your whole existence. Now you can say, Pastor, that's not right. Okay. The Bible says it's right. The Bible also says one day you're going to realize it if you don't know Jesus. I promise you, time will tell. And so I'm trying to give you life by giving you the wisdom of God. Because I don't want to see you go to hell. I won't see it. I won't see anybody go to hell. But that's a reality. So if you want to start understanding and realizing, I love how people go, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. You are a fool. You have deceived yourself. How can there be one without the other? And why do you need heaven if there's no hell? What did God save you from? Why did Jesus have to die if he wasn't delivering you from something horrible and horrific? Guys, think about this just for a minute. Let's just pretend for one moment, just one moment, let's just pretend that everything in this book is absolute truth. Where do we get the idea of heaven? The Bible. Where do we get the idea of hell? The Bible. Where do we get the idea of Jesus? The Bible. Where do we get the idea there's one God? The Bible. Where do we get the idea of the Trinity? The Bible. Where do we get the idea that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and without him you can't get to heaven? The Bible. What do you think man wrote? People say, well, man wrote the Bible. Man wrote it, so you can't believe it. The Bible is the most condemning book to man that's ever been written. Why would man write such a thing against himself? Right? Because especially, what do we like? We like good, right? That's why we believe there's a heaven but no hell. Because we want to believe all in the good and everything. Listen, listen. Apple pie with ice cream on top. Apple pie a la mode. Just for a moment. Pumpkin pie season's coming up. Who likes pumpkin pie? Someone say amen, amen, and amen. I'm going to tell you this. My mother passed away in 2001. And so I can say this now without harm coming to me. My wife makes better pumpkin pie than my mom. My wife's pumpkin pie is over the top. I would never say that when my mother was alive, but I can freely say it now. Okay, pumpkin pie is so good, amen? Listen, I'm just going to tell you guys that when we are dealing with heaven and hell and that which the Bible is, man would never write this condemning himself to the absolute core. It's not going to happen. The reason people say man wrote it is because they want to deny it. They don't want to live in it. Because if we deny it, we become the proverbial ostrich, right? If it doesn't exist, it's not real, then we don't have to deal with it. But the reality is, one day you're going to deal with it. One day you and I are going to deal with everything that this book talks about. And if you know God, you're delivered from the wrath. But if you don't know God, you're going to experience the wrath. And Solomon says, the knowing the Lord is the beginning of understanding all of that truth that I just told you. Guys, I'm here to help you. I'm here to tell you. I want you to know the word of God. I want you to know the truth. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But if you reject God, if you reject his word, you're rejecting him. And then you got to pay the price. It's not real. Okay. Okay. But one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Wisdom, knowledge is what I just gave you. Wisdom is acting on it. There's your difference. Amen? Knowledge is what I just gave you. Wisdom is responding to it in a way that will help you. In a way that will keep you alive. And this is what Solomon is giving us, is wisdom. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. If you get any more heat, I'm going to pass out. All right. Here we are. Wisdom says, turn on the air. All right, here we go. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 through 21, wisdom starts explaining who she is. Wisdom shares her credentials. I love this, right? Because wisdom is referenced as a she. And if you notice in 7, it says, hey, if you're smart, you would have wisdom as your sister. In other words, you would be, that's family. You would make that close, right? And back in the Old Testament, back in the Bible days, man, family was everything. Unlike today, man, today we're so divided, but that's another sermon. So he says here, wisdom says in verse, starts in verse 12, 8, 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. I'm sorry, jump down to 2, 22, my apologies, 8, 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. So the Lord had wisdom before he started creating the universe. We went to, last week, my wife and I went to the Creation Museum and the Ark. How many have ever been there? Man, for those of you who have not, you need to put it on your bucket list and you need to go. And it's just an amazing, amazing place to go and learn and to understand and to grow. And so as we went there and we started learning and watching, one of the biggest issues we have is people believe that the world is millions of, or the earth is millions of years old. Man, I'm about to break your heart. It's not. It's 6,000 years old. And you say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us. Well, couldn't a dirt be a million years old? No. Why? Well, God says in the beginning, he created it all out of nothing. He formed it. Evolution can't happen. The Big Bang, okay, there's Big Bangs, but it only creates chaos and chaos, amen? God says, look, he created it. And when he created it all out of nothing. Because you know why? Contrary to evolution, nothing comes from nothing. You can't get something from nothing. Someone say amen. I got to get back on track here. So he says in 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. Ooh, wait a minute. Did you notice none of that existed before God made it? All right, I'm just throwing it out there. Here we go. 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Oh, man. How sweet is that? Did you just read it? You ever wonder why the water stays where it's at? God keeps it there. You ever wonder why the earth and the sun don't collide? God keeps it there. You ever wonder why the moon and the earth don't collide? God keeps it there. You ever wonder why we don't freeze to death or we don't burn up? God keeps it there. You ever wonder why the land stays where it? God keeps it there. God is in control and God keeps it all. He created it all. And he did it 6,000 years ago when he said he did it. Let me help you just for a second. If you hear the word prehistoric, your antennas should be like, alarm. What was that Lost in Space, Will? Danger, Will, danger. Some of you are like, I have no clue what that is. Listen, I promise you it was way before you were born, but since you all know YouTube, go to YouTube, look up Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. Amen. Somebody say amen. All right. Right. That. Listen, God God said that he created it all. And so if you hear the word prehistoric, let me help you out with the word prehistoric. It is an evolutionary term that simply means this is how we justify our story because it's before history. Well, listen, how do you know anything before anything existed? How do you know anything before it was written down? How can you have history before history? Someone help me out. I'm just saying, right? So if you hear the word prehistoric, man, you help them out. Seriously, if you got a teacher, a professor, and I know some of you are like, oh, I don't ever want, man, this is the best time to have the most fun. Your professor, your teacher says, oh, this is prehistoric. Can you say, oh, wait a minute. If it's before history, how do we know it? Anybody ever think of that? Just for me? Okay, here we go. So wisdom says, I was there before there was record of it being there, before God created the heavens and the earth and the water and divided it and held it all in place. God used me. What she is saying is, I am giving you the wisdom that God used to create all of existence and keep it there. Think about that just for a second. God has extended you and I the same wisdom that he uses and that he used to create us, the universe, and everything in its existence. And wisdom says, I'll give this to you. I'll give it to you. I'll work in you. Do you know why people don't, why people aren't experiencing the things of God? Because they really don't believe. Oh, they might believe in Jesus, but that's the depth of their faith. It's only paint deep. But since you put a clear coat over it, it looks deeper than what it actually is. You ever see a paint job on a car and you walk up to it and it looks like it's about 18 feet deep and you just want to put your hand into it? And the reality is it is paper thin. Guys, I'm telling you, man, God says, I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you my wisdom. And so wisdom says, this is who I am. This is where I was. These are my credentials. Listen up. And then we get into 32. And 32 is when it gets really good, guys. 32 is when we should go, woo. That's awesome. 32. Look here in 8:32. Starts addressing us. Very specific. Guys, this is as personal as you can be. This is for you and for me, for us to do with it what we will. And everyone in here has the free will to be a fool, to remain a fool, or to gain wisdom. 32. Now, in 32, I want you to see that wisdom references us as children, as wisdom's children, right? Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Guys, I'm going to tell you, this right here is for believers. You cannot have the wisdom of God until you have God. And you can't have God until you know Jesus. Period. And so, as we look, it says here, now therefore, listen to me. Because of my credentials, I can tell you I know it. I got it. Here's the big secret. Bam, there it is. Here's your golden opportunity. Get your ticket now. Amen? Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Well, guess what? If you are blessed for keeping wisdom's ways, which are God's ways, amen, then what are you if you don't keep God's ways? You're a fool. You're not blessed. And the reality that we're learning here and that we see is that if you don't do it God's way, here's what happens. Pain comes upon us. discomfort comes upon us. Sin has its price. And do not be deceived. God is not mocked. We will pay that price. Amen. And so God says, listen, I don't want you to pay the price. Solomon says, listen, I've gained wisdom. I don't want you to pay the price. But man, for some reason, we think we're no more. We think we got it together. We think we're above God. We think our ways are better than his ways. We think the Bible's a lie. We think Jesus Christ is false. And we think anybody that's a Christian is an idiot. And so guess what we do? We do it our way. And then we pay the price. And then we sit back and go, I don't understand. Why did this happen? Well, God said it would happen. Well, I didn't think. Go back to the fool. Guys, I'm telling you, if we're going to learn, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be, if we want blessed, we got to do it God's way. And wisdom says, this is my way, and if you keep my way, you will be blessed. If you don't keep my way, it's not that you won't be blessed, it gets even worse. And you're like, worse? I'm glad you asked. Hold on. Look here in 33. Now, the coolest thing about 33, as we go on this, look, hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. The only reason that people disdain the word of God is because they want what they want, right? We got to feed the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Guys, listen, and I said this before, and I don't mean to sound redundant, but the truth is, sometimes we don't always hear it the first time, amen? So we need to hear it again, and again, and again, and again. My mom used to say, how many times do I have to tell you? Well, apparently one more, Mom, because I didn't get it. Here we go. 33, hear instruction and be wise. Guys, if you listen to God's word, you follow God's word, you're going to have wisdom. And if you have wisdom, you're going to be blessed. And do not disdain it. Verse 34, blessed is the man, or blessed is the person who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Guys, if you want to be blessed, you got to do it God's way. There's so many of you in here that we have sat down and talked, and you've done it your way, and man, it has all went to pot. And then you've done it God's way, and you come back and you say, "Man, when I do it God's way, I get blessed." Why? Okay, this isn't popular either. Probably not going to make you feel real good. Might make some of you mad, but it is reality. The verse says that you are a dog that returns to its own vomit. That's pretty disgusting. Tell the Bible. I'm just quoting scripture. But why are we the dog that returns to its own vomit? Why do we keep going back to that which we know poisons our water? Why do we keep going back to that which we know destroys us? Why do we keep making decisions to feed the flesh what we know destroys the flesh? And you know why? Because Satan gets in there and he whispers little things to you and you take it as truth, even though you know it's a lie, but it activates something inside of you that sparks this lust of the flesh and you're like, hey, I got to get me some of that. And before you know it, death. Amen? I'm just telling you what scriptures say. All right, here we go. I know I'm not gaining ground here, but we're going to keep moving forward. All right, here we go. Verse 34, blessed is the person who listens to me. Guys, that really comes down, you got to answer this question. Do you want blessings from God or do you want curses from God? Do you want God's favor or do you want Satan's direction and his pressure on you? I'm going to tell you this. Every time you choose to serve you, live your way, do it your way, and cancel out God, you are going to struggle. Struggle. And some of you are going to struggle so much so that you can't bear it. And you're going to look for a way out. And let me help you. Let me help you. Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the way out. And you're like, well, I don't want your Jesus. Okay. We got two choices. God's way or man's way. well, loving God won't send anybody to hell. You're absolutely right. Whew. You send yourself to hell. See, God says, here it is, guys. Chocolate or vanilla. And you go, well, I don't like chocolate. Well, then you get what's left. Right? I don't want chocolate. Then you get vanilla. And God says, heaven, my way or your way. These are your options. Well, God, I don't like your way because your way is like, argh! And God's like, okay, you get what's left. Exercise your own wisdom, Bubba. Amen? And guys, listen, I'm just going to tell you, God's not sending anybody anywhere. God is simply saying, here is my way, and if you follow my way, these are all the benefits. Blessings, 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 blessings. But if you don't follow my way, you follow your way, and your way is cursed and death. I'm giving you your choice. Wisdom says, God, I'm all on board. Knowledge says, philosophy. I'll do it my way. Okay. Listen, God is such a gentleman, if you will. Because God says, I'm giving you your option. You exercise it. Okay. Okay. And then when things go bad, we're like, God, how could you? And God's like, whoa, big boy, big girl, hold on. I let you choose. I gave you all the truth, all the facts, and you failed to exercise wisdom. I let you choose. Well, I didn't want vanilla. Then you should have chose chocolate. Amen? Guys, I'm telling you, we can't blame God when God's like, I've told you and I've told you and I've told you. Listen, if you come to this church, I'm going to tell you over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you. Because the reality is, I don't want God to look at me and go, John, why did you not tell them what I told you to tell them? And I'm going to say, oh, but Lord, I did. I'm not going to be the guy. Listen, you know what I want to hear when I see God? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you know who I would rather make mad? You, and not God. I think of the apostles when they were arrested, and when they got arrested, and then they were like, okay, we can't hold you, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to let you out, but when we let you out, do not preach that stuff about Jesus again on the streets. And Peter, probably one of his wisest moments ever. Because, you know, Peter kind of, well, if you know Peter, he's a little, takes him about 3 times on average to catch something. At any rate, Peter looks at them and says, should we obey God or man? And they said, well, we're just telling you. And they let him out. And you know who he obeyed? God. He got out on the street and said, Jesus is the only way, man. He was street preaching. Man, and those who had a desire for God were saved, and those who had a desire for life lived, and those who did not, they died. Watch this. That's kind of abrupt, isn't it? They died. Well, that's what death is, abrupt. Verse 35. For whoever finds me finds what? Life. Not just life. You're not just going to live, but guess what else you get? What's it say that we get? Favor. We get favor. Not just any favor. We obtain favor from the Lord. Now, this is really interesting because if you notice the way the Lord is spelled, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord, all caps. And you say, so what? Hold on. I'm glad you asked. Why is it all caps? Because it's all God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So now you are going to find favor, not just with the Father, but with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Well, who cares about that? Are you crazy? Jesus and the Holy Spirit don't do anything without the Father telling them to do it and allowing them to do it and encouraging them to do it. And then the Son, when he does something, man, he does it right, just like the Father. There's no shortcuts. This is done full on. It is good. And then the Holy Spirit says, I will gladly go down there and bless their life. When we exercise wisdom, not only do we live, but we have life. Some of you're living. That's all. You take a breath in, you exhale a breath. You take a breath in, you exhale. That's all you got. That's it. You're existing. The difference between God's life, God's wisdom, when we do it His way, is we don't just inhale and exhale and wait to die. We celebrate. We have life. We enjoy life. We have crazy good times. Amen? Man, we went... oh, I have so much fun sometimes. So we go to the Creation Museum, my mother-in-law, and I love her dearly, and so she doesn't want to stand. She's a young woman in an older person's body. And so she, yeah, I just scored big Christmas present. All right, here we go. So she is going to walk to the front of the line and sit at the bench closer to getting on the bus because we're leaving the ark. So I see her walking up there, right? Man, this whole line of people just like waiting and waiting and waiting, throngs of people, and she's walking all the way up front. And so I couldn't resist. I'm like, Charlotte, you cannot cut in. So I start making this big to-do about cutting in, right? Like, don't let her in. Nobody up there let her in. Charlotte, you... Man, we had so much fun with that, and she's going, right? We had a blast. Everywhere I went, we had a blast. Why? Because I don't just inhale and exhale. I live. Man, I get on a plane, I want to sit in the captain's seat. Now, I can't do it for the whole flight. I get that. But I asked the stewardess, hey, you think the captain would let me sit in his chair? I'm 12. Right? And you know what she said? Because I told my wife, I go, I'm going to sit in the captain's seat. No, you're not. You watch. She disappears. She comes back and she says, come on up. That's what I'm talking about. Not only did I get to sit in his seat, but he took the picture. Amen. Why would I do that? Because I don't just inhale and exhale. I want to live. I want to enjoy life. And God says that He has given us life that we can enjoy all things. And the only reason we're not enjoying it is because we don't recognize that God wants us to. Maybe some of us aren't enjoying it because we don't even know God. And some of you guys, you are just existing. That's all you're doing. You're existing. And I'm going to tell you, this is, nowadays anymore, it's the multitude that's just existing. And I'm going to tell you, you've lost your first love. You're like the church Ecclesiastes, Ephesians. You're like the church of Ephesus. Okay, you're like the church of Ephesus. I had to start over. Anyway, you've lost your first love. Guys, you want blessed, you want life, you want it abundantly, you want to enjoy it, you don't want to just inhale and exhale and look at all your problems, then you need to stop and you need to get in touch with your first love. And if you haven't met Jesus, you need to meet Jesus because that's your only hope. And so Jesus says, look, I gave you life that you might enjoy all things, and you know what I'm going after? Enjoying all things. Guys, You can't stop living just because someone train wrecks your life. You can't stop living because it didn't go the way you thought it should go. We need to understand that with the wisdom of God and exercising the wisdom of God, that not only do we have life, but man, we have blessings. Look at this. Verse 34. Well, first off, 33 is like the setup of 34. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Some of you are struggling because you disdain the Word of God. You're like, I don't hate the Word of God. Then why don't you follow it? If you don't hate it, why don't you do what it asked you to do? If you don't have a problem with it, why aren't you following it? The truth is, when you don't follow the Word of God, you disdain the Word of God. And he says, be wise, don't disdain the word of God, which means, listen, exercise wisdom, follow that which God says, and then look at this, 34, you will be blessed because you've listened to wisdom, the wisdom of God. By the way, the wisdom of man is just foolishness. And then look, not only will you be blessed if you listen to God, but man, you will be so excited. Look here. Hey guys, put 34 up there for me, please. Put Proverbs 8:34 up there. We're going to do 34, 35, and 36. So whenever I call it, just be ready to shoot it up there. So you'll be blessed if you listen to God. And not only that, but you will understand the blessing of God so much so, and you will appreciate the blessing of God so much so, that you will wait. Look at this. You'll watch for God and wait on God. Because you get it. You're like the little kid that's waiting on dad to come home. Right? Or how about the child that's waiting on Christmas Day? It's like, you got to go to bed. Right? That excitement that just fills you up. My wife asked the other, hey, babe, you want to go for a motorcycle ride?
Yes.
We'll go up here and get dinner.
Yes.
Right? You are watching and waiting with an expectancy of God to do something amazing. And he does, because he gives us what we ask for and what we are looking for, as long as it lines up with him. You will be blessed and with excitement wait to see what God's going to do next. Most people don't ever get to this spot, because you haven't denied yourself. You think your way is best, and hold on, the Bible says, I like saying the Bible says, that way it doesn't make me look bad. You're a fool. Sometimes it's just cool to be on these passages, amen? So look, blessed is the man, blessed is the person who listens to God, and once you listen to God and you start living that life out, man, there is an excitement and an expectancy and a joy that comes waiting to see what God's going to do next. But when you do it your way, there's a dreadfulness. There's a heaviness. There's a weight. Romans chapter 12 talks about the weight, that sin that easily ensnares us and slows us down so we can't win the race. Same thing here. Look at 35. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. Guys, there's an exuberance to live for God. And without God, it's just a heaviness. I can't hardly breathe. And for some reason, people get so content giving their life to Satan. I don't get it. You want favor from God. You want life. You want to enjoy life. You want to be like that little child that is waiting at the door, verse 34, waiting at the door, right? You're like, oh, he's coming. He's going to do something great. I know he is because that's who he is. That's just what he is. That's the way he is. And ooh, it's going to be good, right? Man, if you're not like that with God, are you living for God? Do you even know Jesus? These are real questions, guys. So in 5, for whoever finds me finds life, and whoever and obtains favor from the Lord, man, that's double portion of ice cream right there. Verse 36. And here's the opposite. And so many people are content in the opposite. Let me help you for a minute. You control this. Like, this is your decision to live life or to die. This is your decision. You can't get mad at God. You can't get mad at anyone. You can't blame anyone when you see God and he says, look, this is what, and you're like, oh, God's going to go, hold on a minute. Remember that time you were in Connecting Point Church and the bald preacher told you? You are without excuse. Look at this. But he who sins against me. In other words, the person that does opposite of what God tells us to do wrongs his own soul. I can't get you into heaven. I can't. I can tell you how to get there. I can tell you what God says, what God expects. I can tell you what's going to happen to you if you deny God. And I'm going to tell you, if you choose to go against wisdom, God's wisdom, and you choose your own wisdom, you will die, and it's a personal thing, and you will live life without God forever and ever in hell and torment, where the worm does not die, but writhes in agony and pain for eternity. It never goes away. How many have ever stubbed their toe? Okay, times that by 10,000 forever. It's going to be horrible. Put 35 back up, please. Or 36, my apologies. 36. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And then he finishes it off with, all those who hate me, you love death. And I'm going to tell you about this death. This death isn't just absence of breath. It's just not, oh, he's dead, no more breath, no more breathing, put him 6 feet under, done. No. If you hate God, you love death. And this death is while you are on earth, and when you pass away, it doesn't leave you. Death is lonely. Death hurts. Death is agony. Death has no joy. And you love death if you despise God. Don't get angry. Fix it. I talk to people all the time, and I'm like, guys, this is what you need to do. If you want to get out of debt, this is the best way to get out of debt the fastest. I know, but I can't control myself. I like this and I like that. Well, then if you're not out of debt, don't get mad 2 years down the road that you're still struggling because you chose death. Well, it's the same way with God, with life, with joy. You want to live and live life abundantly? You want to sit in the captain's chair of the cockpit looking out that little window of that massive plane that doesn't have any rearview mirrors? You want to live life? You want to go stand on the very edge at the Grand Canyon? So I walk out on this ledge. It wasn't a ledge. It was like this massive cliff that went all the way out into a point. And the only thing between that edge of that rock and the bottom of the canyon was air. That was it. And so I told my wife, because I like living on the edge. I like fun. I am an adrenaline junkie. So I go all the way out on the edge, because that's just what I do. And I'm standing on the edge, and I look, and I'm like, whoa. And when I tell you the edge, I'm telling you, I had this much room between me and the air that I was talking about that went all the way to the bottom. And I'm looking down, and I'm like, whoa, that is so cool. I turn around and tell my wife, take the picture. And this wind come out of nowhere. I think God was just messing with me, like, oh, check this out, Jesus, we're going to get his attention. This wind hits me in the chest, and it's like, it wasn't hard. It wasn't like it was going to blow me over. It's just enough to knock me off balance a touch. Well, when you only got that much room between you and a mile down, a touch is a lot of wind, I'm just saying. And so this wind hits me like, poof, it just hits me in the chest, and then you feel it kind of flutter for a minute. And all of a sudden, I lost all strength in my manhood. Everything from the belt down turned into a noodle, just... Like, I'm going, take the picture. Right? And then I get off. I leave the rocks and the cliff, and I get back to land. I go, did you get it? She goes, yeah, look at it. Oh, that's a nice picture. And then we walk up around, and we take this long trail, and we go around, and we get to this lookout. And when we get to the lookout, I look back, and lo and behold, there's this cliff that stuck out into the canyon. And I told my wife, I go, that's the picture. It was the same cliff, but a different angle. I said, you stay here, get ready to take the picture, and I'm going to run down there, and I'll run out on there, and then you can get the picture. And she goes, I will not. And I'm like, it's just one picture. No. Baby, it's one picture. No. Well, if you're not going to take the picture, there's no sense in me running all the way down there, running out there and posing like an idiot, going, hey, get a bit. Man, I want to live life. I want to enjoy it. And even when there's a scary moment, and it was, I ain't going to lie to you, like, when I tell you all the man in me left, all the man in me left. And man, it just scared me for a moment, but then it was like that immediately junkie rush. You know? Anyway, so... I'm like, okay, but that's what it is with God. That's just what it is with God. Man, we get all these pleasures and fun and these junky rushes, and it's just good stuff. And God's like, man, I just want to bless you, and I'm going to give you life. But man, if you hate me, you are going to fall. And you're going to go kersplat, bug on the windshield. What's the last thing that goes through a bug's mind when he hits your windshield? His behind. At any rate, some of you will catch that, some of you never will. Here we go. So he says, in 35, whoever finds me finds life and attains favor from me. Verse 36, from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Guys, I'm going to end with this. If you choose to live life your way, hold on. There's a huge price to pay all along the way. If you choose to live life God's way, man, you will be blessed. You will be blessed beyond what you can even think or imagine. And I'm not talking financially blessed. I'm talking blessed here. Because some of you, your mind is destroying you. Your thoughts are your biggest enemy. And God will bless you by clearing that up. Some of you, you're dying in here. You have no hope. Life is just draining you at every level. You don't even know which way's up. You ever go swimming and wonder, get turned around? That's some of you in your heart of hearts. You're dying. And you've allowed the world to corrupt you. You've allowed people to dictate your happiness. And I'm just telling you, until you let go of all of that and hold on to God, you will struggle. And I will tell you this. There's not much anybody can do to help you until you let go of that which is pulling you down under the water. You know, when you take someone that's drowning, the person that goes out to rescue them, if they're not careful, the one drowning will drown the rescuer. See, sometimes you can't help someone until they're willing to be rescued. And I'm asking you to exercise wisdom to save your own soul. I can give you counsel, direction, guidance, but I can't save your soul from death and hell. I can do something that'll make you happy for a moment, but I can't give you joy that's deep down that only comes from the Lord. This is your decision. Yours and yours alone. And you got to decide this day whom you'll serve. The God of the Bible or yourself? If you choose yourself, you end up with nothing in the end. If you choose the God of the Bible, you have life and life everlasting. You have joy, wholeness, completeness. You're filled to the brim. You're the child at Christmas waiting on Jesus. Without Him, you're dead. You just haven't quit breathing yet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I just want to give you an opportunity. I can't save you. Boy, if I could, man, every one of you in here would be saved. But this is a decision that you have to make. And I would tell you this, man, God loves you so much. Sometimes He will let you go so far down. Not because He doesn't love you, but because He realizes that some of us don't look up until we hit rock bottom and we have no other choice but to look up. Some of you have the opportunity to look up before you hit the bottom. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. The Bible says that you have to believe. That's it. Believe. Have faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. I ask you to pray a prayer, not because the prayer saves you, but it's just a way of verbally having a time stamp where you go, this was the day I made a conscious decision to surrender my life, to exercise wisdom, God's wisdom, and give my life to Christ. If it's your desire, the Bible says that you have to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that He died for your sins, He conquered death and hell, and He's at the right hand of the Father today. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to heaven except through me. No one lives except through me. That's what Jesus says. And so if you're here today and you want to surrender all, I want you to pray this prayer quietly in your heart of hearts. Pray this prayer. Again, the words aren't magical. It's just I'm giving you a physical thing to do so that you know that you've made a conscious decision to do it. And when Satan tries to beat you up down the road, you can say, Satan, get behind me, because this day I ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If that's your desire, pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. Living life on my own has not been the greatest. Exercising my wisdom over your wisdom has not prevailed. Today I surrender. Jesus, today I give you my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the only way to heaven. And today I repent of all my sins. I turn away from this life that I'm living that's contrary to you, and I walk toward you. I repent. Today I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me white as snow. Jesus, today I ask you to give me life.